This podcast covers the French and Indian War and the events leading to the Revolution. The French and Indian War. The French and Indian War was the North American branch of the Seven Years' War that raged in Europe from 1756 to 1763. The war was a bloody conflict between England and France, two nations that seemed to be in a constant state of warfare throughout history. In North America, the war was primarily a conflict over colonial land and wealth. In the 1740s, both nations traded furs with Native Americans in the Ohio country. But by 1750s, English investors in the Ohio country wanted to convert large tracts of land into the wilderness into farmland. In 1750, the French began capturing English trading posts and built a military fort called Fort Duquesne to defend the territory against the English. Major General George Washington of the Virginia Militia was sent to deliver a message that the French had to leave the area. The French refused. Washington was sent a second time to remove the French. This time he was authorized to use force if necessary. Washington quickly built Fort Necessity to defend against the French. In a skirmish against the French, one of Washington's native allies killed a French diplomat, thereby starting the French and Indian War. In the beginning, the French won several key battles, but the tide of the war changed in 1758. The English began to make key alliances with some native tribes, and they also began using different war strategies to fit the territory and landscape of the frontier, as directed by Lord William Pitt. Exhausted by years of battle, and now outmanned and outgunned by the English, the French began to collapse. The last major defeat of the French occurred in September 1759 at Quebec. The French and Indian War officially ended with the signing of the Treaty of Paris in 1763, which also ended the larger Seven Years' War. Under the treaty, France surrendered all of its American lands to the English. Since Spain had helped France, it lost Florida to the English but maintained its lands to the west of the Mississippi River. Some of the lasting effects of the war were continued tension between the English and the natives. In fact, Pontiac's War ignited shortly after the Treaty of Paris was signed. England became the dominant nation in North America. Although the American colonists directly benefited from the war was costly, and the colonists did not believe that they should have to pay for it. In total, the war cost England nearly 140 million British pounds. Events leading to revolution. As a direct result of the war, England demanded that the colonists pay taxes to help pay for the war. The colonists protested that England did not have the right to tax them because the colonists were unrepresented in Parliament. Taxation without representation violated the colonists' fundamental rights as Englishmen. Prior to the French and Indian War, England did not enforce many of its laws regulating trade and mercantilism, thereby engaging in salutary neglect in the colonies. It also largely permitted the colonies to govern themselves in local affairs. With the debt caused by the war, this policy changed drastically. England needed to raise money to pay for the war and its standing military in the colonies. In the 1760s, England passed a series of laws called the Navigation Acts, which were designed to promote English mercantilism. English mercantilism essentially held that the colonies only existed for the economic benefit of England. The Navigation Acts required that all goods be shipped on English ships with English crews, and that all goods had to be shipped to England first. The Navigation Acts also placed restrictions on who the colonies traded with, and placed taxes on duties on any goods imported from places other than England. The writs of assistance were court orders that allowed British officials to enforce the Navigation Acts by entering and searching colonial homes, businesses, ships, and so on, and searching for smuggled goods. Unfortunately, writs of assistance were often used to harass and intimidate colonists because they were freely given by courts based merely on suspicion. As Parliament began taxing the colonists, the colonists argued that no taxes could be levied without the consent of the governed, and since they were not represented in Parliament, England could not tax them. The English responded by declaring that the colonists were represented. While they did not vote for their representatives, they were virtually represented, because when Parliament passed laws, it did so after considering the good of all British citizens. In fact, only 3% of all British citizens were actually represented in Parliament. After the French and Indian War, England left 10,000 troops in the colonies to protect them against natives, to keep the peace, and to collect English taxes. England also prevented settlements west of the Appalachian Mountains in order to protect the colonists and natives from each other and passed the Proclamation of 1763. The colonists believed that the law was designed to limit their economic opportunities and that they were entitled to settle the frontier. The Revenue Act of 1764, commonly referred to as the Sugar Act, was a tax on molasses in the colonies. Molasses was a key ingredient in making rum in the colonies. The act also taxed other products such as silk, wine, and potash. In 1765, Parliament faced the problem of housing its troops in the colonies. In response, it passed the Quartering Act, which required colonists to provide housing and food for soldiers if there was not enough room in barracks and public houses. The colonists responded with protests claiming that the act violated the Bill of Rights of 1689 and violated the rule against raising or keeping a standing army during times of peace. In 1765, Parliament passed a tax that impacted all of the colonists. The Stamp Act was a tax on every document or paper printed in the colonies, including newspapers, pamphlets, almanacs, legal documents, playing cards, etc. Violators of the Stamp Act were to be tried in vice admiralty courts instead of receiving a trial by jury. Colonists were outraged and considered the Stamp Act to be illegal and unconstitutional, as it was passed without the consultation of the colonies. During the summer of 1765, Samuel Adams founded the Sons of Liberty, who used violence, non-importation agreements, protests, broadsides, and other methods to spread opposition to the British taxes and laws. The Stamp Act Congress met in June 1765 in New York. 28 representatives from 9 of the 13 colonies attended to discuss and to respond to England. The protests and boycotts of the British goods in response to the Stamp Act hurt British merchants. Because it was hurting business, these merchants pushed Parliament to repeal or abandon the tax, but at the same time, it passed the Declaratory Act to show that the colonists, that England maintained its authority and right to tax and pass laws whenever it wanted in the colonies. Immediately following the Declaratory Act, Parliament passed the Townshend Revenue Duties to once again establish its authority. This act was a tax on luxury items imported into the colonies such as glass, painter's colors, high-quality paper, wine, lead, and other goods. Once again, the colonists responded with boycotts and non-importation agreements, whereby they agreed not to purchase the taxed goods. This again hurt business in England, and merchants pressured Parliament to repeal this act as well. Protests and boycotts in Boston convinced England that it needed to increase its military presence in the colonies just to maintain order. 4,000 additional troops were sent to Boston. The colonists resented the British soldiers stationed in the colonies. It meant that a standing army would exist during peacetime, and many of the soldiers were not of the best moral character. They also competed with the colonists for part-time jobs. By 1770, tension in Boston escalated. On March 5, 1770, a group of colonists gathered near the Customs House on King Street. An argument broke out with a sentry stationed there, Private Hugh White. Within a short time, the crowd began throwing snow and ice at White, and White called Colonel Thomas Preston to assist him. The crowd grew to over 300 and began taunting the soldiers to fire their weapons. Suddenly, a British soldier fired a shot into the crowd. The men discharged their weapons, and when the smoke cleared, three colonists were dead in the street and two died shortly thereafter. In total, 11 colonists were hit by British fire. Samuel Adams saw this event as the perfect opportunity to spread patriot propaganda throughout the colonies. A silversmith named Paul Revere made an engraving called the Bloody Massacre, which was soon spread to every colony and outraged the colonists. On April 9, 1770, after debate in Parliament, all of the British taxes were repealed, including the Townshend duties, except for one, the tax on tea. This tax remained because boycotts would not hurt British merchants, and it was another opportunity for Parliament to show the colonies that Parliament remained strong and had the authority to tax them as it pleased. The Tea Act was meant to help the struggling East India Company, which had 18 million pounds of unsold tea. The tea was to be sold directly to the colonies at discounted prices. In Boston, the colonists responded with protest. On December 19, 1773, thousands of colonists met at the Old South Meeting House to hear Samuel Adams speak. At one point, he said, "There is nothing more we can do to save the country," which was a signal to 50 Sons of Liberty to dress as Mohawk Indians and march to the harbor. During the Boston Tea Party, 90,000 pounds of tea were thrown into Boston Harbor. When the British heard about the protest, Parliament passed the Coercive Acts, which were known as the Intolerable Acts in the colonies, to punish the people of Boston. The coercive acts included the Boston Port Act, the Massachusetts Government Act, the Administration of Justice Act, and the Second Quartering Act. With the new acts of Parliament, the colonists needed a way to communicate with one another, native tribes, and foreign nations. As a result, they set up committees of correspondence, which were shadow governments that met to discuss their issues with England. The Boston Port Act closed the Boston Harbor until the East India Company was repaid and the king was satisfied that order had been restored in Boston. Benjamin Franklin was an experienced printer and statesman who remained in London for nearly 20 years, negotiating peace with King George III on behalf of the colonies. He actually offered to pay for the destroyed tea out of his own funds, but the king refused this offer. The Massachusetts Government Act changed the Massachusetts colonial government. Nearly every public position that was once decided in Massachusetts was turned over to the royal appointment or appointment by the governor. The act also limited town meetings to once per year unless called by the governor. The Administration of Justice Act, which also became known as the Murderer Act, allowed for the transfer of trials of royal officials out of Massachusetts to ensure that they received a fair trial. The effect of the act was that few colonists were wealthy enough to leave their jobs and testify against accused officials in London. As a result, many guilty men walked free and clear of their crimes. Ironically, during the Boston Massacre trial, the best attorney in Boston, John Adams, represented the accused soldiers. His artful defense earned them acquittals on the charge of murder. A Second Quartering Act was also passed as one of the coercive acts because the older act was not followed by the colonists. The Second Act allowed soldiers to be housed in any unoccupied building that was suitable for living quarters. The Quebec Act was passed at the same time as a coercive act, but was not one. It extended the western boundary of the province of Quebec south of the Ohio River and west of the Mississippi River, thereby expanding the territory at the expense of the colonies that claimed that land. It also allowed French Catholics the right to practice their religion freely. Tensions in the colonies were high for a number of reasons, including mercantilism, restrictions on settlement, lack of representation, taxes and policies, restrictions on trade, and a standing military presence. In response to the coercive acts and to discuss what action needed to be taken, from September 5, 1774 to October 26, 1774, all of the colonies except for Georgia sent representatives to the First Continental Congress in Philadelphia. The Congress was divided. Some wanted to give England time to come to its senses while others wanted a military response. John Hancock, a wealthy merchant from Boston, presided over the Congress. A moving orator and speaker named Patrick Henry used his speaking abilities to make moving, passionate speeches about liberty and freedom. In one well-known speech, he said, "Today I am no longer a Virginian, but an American." Despite the fact that some at the Congress felt that the colonies should be free from England, the majority wanted to mend the relationship. Although the colonies came together to support their fellow colonists from Boston, little was accomplished at the First Continental Congress other than the signing of a non-importation agreement. No military action was authorized. As the relationship between the colonies and England grew even more distant, to many, war seemed inevitable. This would prove to be true on one April morning in 1775.